Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Good evening, Jim Jarvis here, along with my co-host Han Tran. Han, how are you?
I am doing fabulous, Jim. Just absolutely fabulous.
Excellent. Well, actually, we've got some nice weather up here finally. Weatherman said on Thursday we might hit 50 degrees, which is more like what it should be as opposed to bitter cold. I'm sure your weather is always beautiful. I mean, it's Florida, right?
No, it's not. Actually, I was talking to Ken. I was talking to Ken and Susie this morning, and they asked me how is the weather in Florida, and they say, okay, if I tell you, you're going to hate me more. If I don't tell you, it sounds like I'm being mean and withhold all the good information. But, yeah, 50 degrees is about what we expect nowadays at night. Okay?
Oh, you're just so funny. Well, obviously we've got a great show tonight. We want to talk about a lot of cool things, but When you and I kind of come together and try to figure out what we want to talk about on the show, it's not like we run out of subjects. We've got all these subjects we'd like to talk, so we're going to try to fit one in. This is going to be like a dual direction one. And really, the Straight Talk episode number 53 is The Right Crew with Direction. Now, what in the world are we going to talk about? Well, what we're going to talk about tonight is, doesn't matter whether you're getting you're going to be doing a renovation, going to be doing a new build, you're a startup, you're an established practice, whatever it is, it's about finding the right team leader that has a expertise unique to the dental world, and we're going to talk about what that means, and that team leader can give you the right advice, assist you as you select the other team members. Go back to some of our podcasts that we have talked about the whole complete team, and we'll touch on a few of those. And mostly that this person, whoever you get, must be able to, create a direction, help the team follow that direction in the right path. So, in essence, they're best poised to solve your problems and create solutions that basically come in at the lowest possible cost and solve all the necessary needs that you're trying to accomplish. Now, Han, you and I talked a lot about some of the experiences we've had over the years in doing dental facilities. And our clients come to us in so many different situations. Everything from, I've already got a piece of property, I've got a general contractor, I've got an architect lined up, I've got a civil engineer lined up, I've got every team member that you can think of, why do I need you? That's the extreme. To the other end of the spectrum where they have no idea. They have no idea what they want to do. They have no idea other than they need to do something. They know they need to do something. And we've got everybody in between. So we've had really our show is tonight to help everybody at least get an understanding of who's to lead the team, and how do you actually find the right person? And we're going to do that by examples. So, Han, I'll kind of let you start off with some of the examples that you've had.
Well, let's say it's unusual. Now, first of all, we are a full-service architecture firm specializing know, designing dentist, you know, dental offices and or dental related facilities. Our skill is not only specific to the dental industry. Jim and I came from the background that we had experience in multitude of different types of projects. So we bring an array of experience that can enhance the design of a dental office that are usually specific to the so-called dental design experts. I myself, this is just purely my opinion, that when you have people that have answers and experience beyond outside of the box, they can bring that information into the box to help the box grow, right? Because I have worked with and for firms that specialize on specific area of industry. They are either mall designers, car dealership designer, church designer, hospital designer, and so on. They know their stuff, but when you if that's all they know, they may be the best ideal individual to service that particular industry, but after a while, things does get stagnant. The new idea, the greater ideas, things are unusual that are used in some other industry doesn't get to be brought into, because after a while, you start to do the production stuff. You replicate things because they work out well in one project, and you just duplicate it in one project after, and so on and so on. So if you are looking for a team, look for diversity. Look for a team that has experience beyond the norm. Okay, some of the things that we normally kind of intrigue us when we get phone calls, and the phone call would be from an architecture firm. You go, well, why would an architecture firm call us, another architecture firm? And you're not inviting a competitor into the mix of your projects. And that's interesting, simply because not all architects are well-versed in the areas that they may have opportunity to do. So the smart one, instead of overpromise what they can't deliver to the client to secure the project, and run down the road with the project and make all the mistakes that they can make on your project. The smart one will reach out to those who have the expertise and say, hey, I have the opportunity in this with this particular project, and we don't have any experience in that area. We are a good architect, but we don't have experience in that area, and we heard about you. Can we talk? And maybe we can partner on the project, and you can be the consultant that work on the project with us and give us the leadership and, the guidance and the technical feedback and all that stuff. So those, we got a few of those, okay? And those are always fun because we get to be, we get to be the expert, and we are. And then we occasionally, If you happen to have an architect that you like, that maybe your brother could be your dad for a matter, I don't care. But if they don't have
it, could be a patient of yours.
Patient, okay. And so you want to give them the work because you like them and all that stuff, you trust them and all that, but they don't have the expertise that they need to really do a great job for you. Not just a job, but a great job for you. Then, perhaps you add another layer or another component, the dental architect component, so that the architect can design the conceptual design, stay on the project as a needed basis to give guidance and kind of give you a lifeline for your local architects and the local architect has somebody that they can go to as, you know, as a peer, and get the information they need to, you know, and do the job so that you, the client, win at the end of the day. Okay?
Well,
so
that's,
that is your
Han, in that, yeah, in that scenario, that's, it's very important to, I think, elaborate a little bit on that. You basically get the best of both worlds. You get the opportunity to have, you know, a little bit of back and forth with your patient or friend or someone you have a, already an existing relationship with that you trust, but you do in fact have a situation where if we're part of the mix, that local architect does not have to tackle the immense hurdle of learning all the things that we know over, you know, and we've gathered over the last, you know, piles of years of doing this work. And so their learning curve is very, very small. We're here as their lifeline. You know, Han, you and I, we don't care about the prestige. We don't care about, we don't have to be in charge. We'll help.
Right.
You know, we don't have to tell everybody what to do all the time. But at the same time, we're, our focus is to help the client. So in that scenario, it's still right in line with our mission to help the client. We're there to assist so that your local architect succeeds because we help them to succeed and you get a fantastic project. Now, we've done this before numerous times and it works out very, very well. So I guess don't feel that it's a adversarial kind of relationship, not at all. It's actually the opposite. We work very well with others and like that opportunity because we know that it's for one reason and the common goal is to make it so you succeed. Han, you were saying?
Yeah, I think, you know, like on downtown, the dental community is rather unique. Actually, I thought what's fascinating is that a practitioner can pose a case and ask for input, recommendations, and they share ideas. They openly share ideas, and you know, for let's say a dentist, an older, more established dentist, may design his facility with a certain feature that will help him to accomplish a certain requirement or a certain style of how he practices. And if that is shared on an open discussion, others may say, you know, how'd you do it and why'd you do it and can I get some information on that? And they don't treat each other like competitors. You know, it's almost like on an open mentorship type of community. For us as an architecture firm, I stopped counting. Once in a while we have somebody that went onto our site, downloaded the information, and I look at the data and I say that's an architecture firm. This is information that they would normally would be common information for them, common knowledge. So I'm curious why they download it. And so I would reach out and introduce myself, and we talk, and you know, they say I'm starting on a project. I had an opportunity, and I really don't know where to start. And so, you know, I would volunteer our time and share our knowledge because, again, you know, it's another professional genuinely looking for help, looking for direction, and I believe that if you share and you openly help others, it's going to come back to you. Eventually, it's going to come back to you. You know, the satisfaction of helping someone without the the back and forth of how much, what kind of compensation I get out of it. It's rewarding. Intangibly. I mean, maybe I'm a dreamer about that, but we have done that numerous of time. Give them half an hour here or there, so that it helped them to service the mutual community that we service. And at the end, they learned something, and their client, the dentist, have a better than average success with their new bill. So, you know, that is from a dental, that's from a dentist, a architectural organization reaching out to us. We also have interior designer, realtor, people that are involved at the peripheral or at the tail end of a project, and that don't have the experience, and they reach out. So, you know, our the premise or the whole objective about our Straight Talk radio program is to share information, to teach. Sometimes Jim sounds a little preachy, but we share information, because the sharing and the learning help those who are thinking about starting at their own practice or doing their next building to be more informed. They make better decisions and improve their life. And perhaps we are convincing enough that they would say, I need those guys on my team, and they will call us. So I encourage you to ask that question, to reach out and talk to us. And, if we answer all your questions and you feel comfortable and all that stuff, I encourage you to bring us on to the team. Jim?
Right. Well, exactly. And I wanted to kind of circle back to a couple things. But first of all, when we talk about the right crew and the right leader, we've had some examples. Hans talked about a few of those things. But you need to have someone who is knowledgeable in the overall process, knowledgeable specifically to the dental side. And if the person, specifically, we always recommend the architect, if that particular architect does not have all of the knowledge, then you got to find a way to get it. And I guess what we're saying is that's one possible opportunity. Now let's step back a little bit. You can always go back to the podcast when we talked about team building. It was way back in the beginning, I think in our single digits shows. But, obviously you've got your accountant, you've got your banker lender, you've got your attorney, you've got your architect, you've got your dental equipment specialist, and you've got a construction partner. Now, they're not in any order or priority, but that's your core team. And that leader, specifically, we like it to be the architect, has to be able to communicate to everybody and put everybody in the same direction and path. Now, Han, you were talking about being, I like to call it diverse in our experience on
yes.
other projects or other kind of areas of architecture. One of the newest, it's been around for a while, but one of the newest things that are being utilized in dental offices is carpet tiles. High quality commercial carpet tile was actually designed and created for office buildings. Back when the
yes.
office buildings were created in such a way that they had modular floors, so that you literally could take the floor up, reconfigure the whole office structure, the interior layout, and put in movable walls, but carpet tile was created for that so they could be picked up and moved. That has then came from that project type and has been integrated into dental facilities because of the very unique aspect of if you have a destroyed tile that's either gotten stained or damaged or whatever, you can quickly pick it up, throw it away, and replace it with another without any heartburn. Yeah. I mean, you could literally have a maintenance person do it overnight. And the next day, somebody walks in, doesn't know any different. As opposed to the old way of doing things, when you would have a sheet of carpet that got a damage in it, a tear, a burn, a stain that couldn't come out, you had to either cut something into it, and nine times out of ten you'd see it, or you had to replace a large section of carpet. So that's an example. Another example are the vinyl planks. And the vinyl plank system was actually created for retail, commercial retail establishments, like you would see in a mall or like you would see in a little retail center, because of their ability to go down very quickly, go down right on top of a concrete floor slab, and be extremely durable. Well, that has now translated into the dental world, and they get better over the years and get stronger and more durable. And so you see those being utilized. And actually, a lot of times there's a lot of other systems and a lot of other aspects that come from other industries that are available out there. And, you know, you need to have a team, specifically the team leader, who knows about those things. So that's a couple of real-time examples of what Han was referring to. Now
Jim, can I add something into without interrupting you too? Because sometimes one of the things that that come up from time to time is what is the sense of burying your utilities in a concrete slab and then hope that it doesn't leak or blown out or damage in some way where you have to, shut down the office and cut it open to fix it, okay? Because when you're in a building and you are a tenant, it's kind of difficult to dictate the type of construction. When you say modular floor, okay, what Jim was talking about is the technical term is raised floor. And what are usually associated with facilities that have computers, the old computer rooms that require a big, almost like a big room with big equipment that's really cold with a lot of air movement and all that, and everything, all the infrastructure, utilities, and all that is under the floor, between the actual walking surface and the slab underneath. It's called raised floor because it is a system that bring the walking surface up above the utilities. That is something that I have thought about and have not been able to implement in the dental facilities, because a lot of time most of our clients look at their office, whether it's a 3,000 or 10,000 square foot, as an extension of their home. So it's more residential construction like versus true commercial building construction. I think it would be great to have a client, a dentist who are technology savvy, that are looking at ways that and willing to invest into the type of construction that allow them truly the flexibility to reconfigure their space, use it, their utilities, and all of that associated with the raised floor system. But that's a really, really neat system that allows you to I never talked to a CPA about the tax benefit of that, whether there is or not, but they are considered furniture. So there may be tax benefit that would make it worthwhile because it does cost a little bit more, but construction time is incredibly fast, and changing, modifying, replacing, repairing anything that deal with your plumbing, your gas, your electrical, and all that is rather easy. Technologies and things that are used in other industry can easily enhance the dental facilities if your team know what it is about. Okay, Jim?
Yep. There are some, and sometimes it makes a lot of sense to at least investigate those. And
yes.
Circling back a little bit on what you talked about in the introduction part, we feel very strongly, so much so that we take the time and energy to put together things like this show, that we can get information out to help, you know, all of our listeners. This show takes a fair amount of time to create, hours that we put into this. We're dedicated to it because we are dedicated to advancing the dental design community and making it a better situation so that you don't have to deal with and how'd you put it, Han, except average. You know, average is not good enough. You know, average is definitely not good enough. It can be very, very, very well designed. It can be done very cost effectively. So good design and great design don't have to be expensive. There are so many things and so many examples that we've utilized and can be utilized to create great spaces that work very functionally, that solve all the aesthetic needs, are very efficient, that don't have to cost $1 million. And it could be everything from systems to materials to just the way orientations and placement and all that kind of stuff. And that's important when you're looking for a leader, the person that's going to lean your design, to understand how that works. So one of the other parts of our show tonight, of course, is to talk about the right direction. And these two things actually are linked, having the right team leader, the right crew, and the right direction. Now, I'm going to give an example. Just last week, I got a consult request that came across my calendar from a doctor. Doctor was in New Jersey. It was a husband and wife team. And they filled out our little question part of it and said they would like to have a startup practice, a new build on a piece of property, 3,000 square feet, and at the very bottom, it said 24 to 32 operatories. And I called Han right away, and we talked about this, and it's like, okay, there's two things that are happening here. One, they either made a drastic mistake because you can't put 24 to 32 operatories in 3,000 square feet, or they have listened to our show. And they understand. And actually, the latter was the case. When I talked with them, exactly. They understood that planning for the future is what you should design for and then cut back to what you're going to build today. So, yeah, their plan is to have eventually a facility that had 3 to 4 pedo doctors and 2 to 3 general dentists along with themselves that could support anywhere from 24 to 32 operatories. And their civil engineer that's actually already working on the job is working on establishing a buildable area that could house as much as 14,000 square feet. This is a startup dentist. And I was like, I'm amazed. And it's like, beautiful. These two know what they're doing. They are headed down the right direction. It's like, beautiful. Great. Because they're planning for the future. They also know that it's a startup practice and it's just them. So they're not ready to take on that many operatories. And so they're saying, we're thinking something around 3,000 feet at first. And then we'll figure out whether we're going to build the rest of it as a shell and rent it out, or we're going to just plan for it and not build it and design it in such a way that you can add the adjacent spaces as the client base grows. That's forward thinking.
We encourage that.
Oh, absolutely. It's beautiful. I mean, it's like you are doing the right thing. You are headed down the right direction. You are providing the right path for whoever you're going to have as leading this design. They've got it. And it's like, I was just so happy. It was like, I immediately called Han and we talked about it. And it was like, do you know what just happened? This is perfect. Because usually we have the other way around, where we have someone that comes to us and saying, you know, unfortunately, I'm in this kind of situation and I'm stuck and I need to be able to add more operatories and I don't have a room for it, or what do I do? You know, all those other issues that we deal with. And it's not a problem because a lot of people don't know. How does Bill put it? You don't know what you don't know, right? And so they
and
didn't
if you
know.
Don't ask, you won't know, right?
And if you don't ask, you won't know. And, you know, even this husband and wife team had the forward thinking to call us and talk about what they were doing to make sure that they were, in fact, headed down the right path.
So, is it, Jim, the term is master planning, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
That's the term of what they want to plan for.
Yeah, and master planning is not business planning, though business planning can be part of the master plan. When in the architectural arena, when we say master planning, that usually mean associated with facilities, buildings, site, and things like that. If you don't master plan your construction and your building design and things like that, you will have issues such as this. I was invited to look at an established practice. It is the second generation. The father retired, and it was in Chicago in a very swanky Hyde Park. And the practice, as they grow, they just add on space. They just add on. And when you walk in there, you look at it and you say, this baby is like a Band-Aid upon a Band-Aid upon a Band-Aid. And they just barely holding everything together. It becomes very inefficient. It becomes almost hazardous. At the point where if you walk down the main corridor and the doctor is in the mouth and the patient's in the chair, you can actually take the hand, stretch it out a little bit to your side, and walk down and hit the head to all the patient in the chair as you go down the corridor. That's how tight it is. It's just one of those, because there was lack of planning. We dealt with all kind of clients in our past that they call and say, I got XYZ buildings and I want to do this and that. And you look at the history of how things was done, you go, nobody ever sit down and actually did a master plan for their business growth. We had a call out of Massachusetts, a very established clinic, and the same thing. Growth is great, okay? But if you don't plan for that growth, you will have a facility that looks like a maze. And on the wall somewhere, it should say, where's the cheese? because it's so, it is so convoluted in the way it's layout. It is so inefficient in the way it's you know, it's run, and you just feel like you're in a box and running in circle. So master planning is important. You need to invest the time in it. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be in the later part of your career to think about master planning. It could be on a smaller scale. You're looking at you know, leasing a space in a retail strip, okay? And you say your lease may be for 10, 15 years or longer, because every time you move, it costs a lot. And so how do you, you know, what would be the best strategy to allow you to grow in place? Do you take the, you know, the end cap, so that way you get the most exposure? Naturally, you want to have the most exposure. But if you're at the end cap, how do you grow? You only grow in one direction. Your opportunity to grow is only to the side that, you know, that's adjacent to you. But if you are somewhere in the middle, you have twice the opportunity to grow. And if you grow, how would it look like? So that discussion should be had with your design team. So if I'm going to grow, how do I lay out my space? So that way you can continue to see patient until the day that you need to shut down for the week or two to merge everything together. If that discussion doesn't have, you look like you're going to have either the choices, you've grown so fast, you no longer have the room to see patient. Now you have to go relocate someplace else where it's bigger. Or if you're lucky enough, the space next to you have become vacant. Now you basically, when it's done, it may look like two businesses with two separate doors, two separate area of everything, because your design was never designed for growth.
Exactly.
And that
direction is actually very crucial. So when you're starting at the very beginning of the design process, we ask a lot of questions. And we do that for that reason, and only that reason, is to understand what your ultimate goal is. Keep that in mind, create something that will allow you to accomplish that, and then back from that down to what you're going to be actually building today. And, you know, in a nutshell, that's what's considered master planning. But you have to have the understanding and the expertise to understand what questions to even ask. So if your team leader, the architect, doesn't have that ability because he or she doesn't have that expertise to even ask the right questions, you're already starting from a deficit. You will never get to the point of having a proper master plan, then eventually backing into having the right design for day one. We've seen so many times where a dentist will come to us and hand us a document and say, this is where I am right now, and here on this set of drawings 10 years ago, there was this dashed area that was boxed out, and that's where it says future addition. And he said, I want to put in my future addition in this area. And we look at it, and instantaneously, we know it was never planned for properly. This was the exact wrong place to put the future addition based upon how the building originally was designed. So unfortunately, there are too many out there that don't have the knowledge. So if they don't have the knowledge, then you better get somebody on the team that has the knowledge. And we've got, and like Han, you said, you know, we can help. We can help in regards to consulting. We can help in regards to teaming, or we can help by, you know, leading the project from the beginning. All of those work. You know, don't get the wrong impression. We're not saying that if you've already got a design, or if you've already got a predicament, or you've got a situation that, you know, we can't help you. No, that's not the case. we can give you lots of options and lots of ideas and be able to help you from wherever you're at in your particular. I just gave that example about the group up in New Jersey because they're starting out, and they're starting out in the right way. I didn't even get to tell you the point that they bought an existing house. Well, Han, what happens when you hear the words, we bought an existing house? Does the hair in the back of your neck stand up, and do you like shudder a little bit and you hold your breath? Because I know I do.
I just hear the coins hitting the floor. You know,
yeah.
Like you're losing change. Okay.
Yeah, the money getting sucked down the toilet.
Yeah, because it's often that is just a snippet of the picture.
Right.
Okay. But
the next sentence was the telling sentence because he said we tore it down. We bought the property. We didn't buy the house. And it's
right.
Perfect.
So that's smart.
Smart solution. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some times where a house might be your only option and might be the thing that is the right answer to do. Pretty rare, but it could happen. And I think we did a whole show on renovating an existing house. But, you know,
yeah, actually,
we'll
talk about it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll talk about, you know, if he could go back. He started out with, they bought a farmhouse and gut it and renovate it. And he go, by the time they're done, you'd say they could have built a brand new one.
For less. And less heartburn.
So,
yeah, exactly. But I'm saying is the startup couple had the foresight to think about all of that stuff in the future. So no matter where you're at in the process, no matter what your predicament is, you got to think about the direction. And your team leader has to understand that. And that team leader has to also be able to communicate that to the rest of the team, so that all direction and all discussions and all things still keep that in mind. You know, we could be designing and coming up with concepts and plans and all that kind of great stuff. And if you don't think about the future, you're going to blow that opportunity when you should be thinking about it. And, you know, that's an opportunity lost you never get back. And so you got to think about that stuff.
Jim, this is a question that I think that I want to throw on the table and get your thought, because I think a lot of our listener and potential client at the same time may have the same question. Okay, because this was brought to my attention just in the last couple of days. They have an architect working on the building, on their project. And usually somewhere in there, the architect could be the one that came up with the design, and they give it to the equipment vendors. Most of the time it's the other way around. The vendor come up with a layout, you know, with all the equipment and stuff like that, and then the architect basically finalized that. In my opinion, just my humble opinion, that's putting your cart in front of the horse. Okay, we were on the receiving end and the beneficiary of a project where the design was done, by a supply house, and they didn't do their homework, and the owner bought the building and the property, and we become the janitor on the project to clean up the mess, and that's not the way. That doesn't do the team, the project, any good or any benefit. Okay, so the question is this: if you have an architect already on the project, and the design is well in the way and so on, but the design did not come together well. It's not as efficient as it needs to be and all that good stuff. Is there any, is there a right time or a good time to pivot and change and bring on not necessarily a new team, but at least a new eye to make the changes that's necessary because it's still on paper. It's not under construction yet.
Well, that's a really good question to think about in the sense that it's never too late. The only time it's too late is after you've built. Then it's too late. Well, and then even that can be reworked, but it costs a lot of money. But yeah. I mean, no matter where you're at in the process, we can help. We can, you know, at least give you some thoughts, at least give some ideas, at least give you some areas to think about. And we've talked about before, we're not going to tell you what to do. That's not our place. Now, we're very straightforward in our opinions, aren't we, Han? You know, you say I get to be a little preachy, and you're very opinionated. But that's okay. That's two good things.
Yes.
Because
that's
we're
right.
not going to tell you what you want to hear. We're going to tell you what you need to hear. We're going to give
right.
you the facts from our knowledge base, and we're going to say this is what you should look at. You're going to have this opportunity or this opportunity and that option. You can put this here, you can put that here. Here's the pros, here's the cons. You make the decision because it's your space, it's your building. We're going to give you all those ideas and those options. So we'll give your existing team, specifically your architect or your team leader, whoever that might be, it doesn't have to be an architect. You may have went down the path of having a designer be the team leader. Not something we recommend, but it could be the case. That's
yep.
probably where you're probably going to need our expertise more. Yeah, but you know, you're going to then say, okay, here are the options. Here's the possibilities. Let's go from there because you can change anything as long as it's on paper. Sure, it may take a couple weeks or whatever in the way of time. That's money well spent as opposed to building something and having to live with a mistake in the design
forever. Yep.
The only way you get rid of that mistake is you redo it or sell it. And neither one of those are pretty options. Because
you know, Jim, we've always advocate and encourage that if there's any brilliant ideas that are presented, you know, early on during the design process, should be investigate, mull over, and execute or eliminate when everything is still on paper because it's cheap, and you say the most, you know, it's very expensive when you change it under construction. Or worse yet, after you built. And Jim's right, and I think Jim and I share both have the same belief is that it's never too late to change. Okay, even after construction has started, I've worked on a project for Delta Dental in Michigan, and we've gone through the entire design process, the program, and everybody sign off and all that good stuff, and we lay out the entire space, and we haven't put any drywall or any electrical or anything like that. But the team, the client, came out and looked at the layout and determined that the space, all their offices and stuff like that they say that doesn't need to be the size of a football field for individual managers. I mean, make smaller, and they all sign off. And then once they see the stud up, they say, this is too small. And we actually have to redesign and tear out everything and redesign the space to fix it. Okay? That is a little extreme because they pay for the extra work. But again, just to prove the point that if you see that you can yield more value with the coming from the change or the improvement of the design, consider it. because it's on a long-term basis, it will reward you. It will give you greater return on your investment if you do so. And if you don't, the regret will be with you every single day for the duration of your occupancy of that space. Jim?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, here's another one of the things that happened. You know, we were talking about where, you know, going to give you examples of what we run into and how it relates to the right crew in the right direction. The other day, I got a consult request from a doctor down in Texas. And she's looking at buying a condominium office space. The building is designed by somebody else, being built by somebody else. But when I say building, I mean the shell. The outside of the building is being designed by the developer and his architect, and being built by his general contractor. And then she is buying that shell. So that exterior envelope is what she's going to have. And in that, create her design for her dental office. So that adds a layer of complexity that we have to work through. And thankfully, in her particular case, it looks like they've got the doors in the right place, the front door, and it, thankfully there is also a back door. Not a lot of sometimes there's not. And, you know, that would be where we would say, oh, can we get a back door in this particular situation? Because 9 times out of 10, that's where the staff come in and out of, if it's possible. There looks like there's windows. Obviously, it'd been nice to have some more windows, but in her particular case, it's not really doable because of the criteria that was established by the developer and the approval process of what he went through. So there's levels of things that you would talk about and questions that you would ask. And she did the right thing. She talked to us before she signed the lease agreement, so that you're getting the input of what needs to be maybe possibly asked for or addressed before you sign on the bottom line and say, I'm going to buy this thing from you, or I'm going to lease it from you for the next 10 or 15 years. You get that input now, because the other scenario, the worst case scenario, would be that, you know, you sign on the bottom line, you say, I'm going to buy it. And then we come back and say, okay, we're looking at the design. And, oh, by the way, that front door is in the wrong location. It really should be moved. Or there needs to be a second door because of this particular requirement or that particular requirement. It needs to be in the back, whether it's code related or usage related. Windows are in the wrong place. You know, all those things that you would hope that you would be able to address, including signage and the ability to be able to place signs on the main monument sign, identification, just all those things that are out there, including what part of the condo are you going to actually buy? Because there are advantages to orientation. You know, do you want to be on the east side of the building? Do you want to be on the west side of the building? Do you want to be on the north side of the building, the south side of the building? All that needs to be taken into account, because, you know, what's the parking layout look like? What's the solo orientation? What's my views? What are my patients going to look out the window at? Are they looking out the window at the dumpster? Or are they looking out the window at a decent view? Or are they looking out the window at this god-awful back of a retail center that's, 20, 30 feet in the air with all the trash dumpsters and the garbage and everything? I mean, there are a lot of things to think about. But again, she did the right thing. She came to us before she signed on the bottom line. That's getting the right crew and the right direction.
And the right help, Jim. That's it. You brought up a lot of good points. If you reach out to the people the professional that has the knowledge, the understanding, the pros and cons of what they where things is, and what will give you the best, you know, the best scenario for your personal space. We, you know, I ran into something like that recently as well. A return client was looking at a, you know, a site. The design for the building was already done by an out-of-state architect, and he's going to lease the you know, the building. And so, you know, he worked with a broker, a nationally well-known broker, and you assume that being helped by a professional who supposedly dealt with buildings and properties and stuff like that, that you get the kind of guidance that you need. They tell, they give you the, you know, the information so that you can make more informed decision before you sign the lease. Okay. And, I think, my friend George, state this quote often, do not assume, don't assume anything. In this particular scenario, they were working with a real estate professional, a broker, but those people are not trained in the architecture area. Do not let them fool you on that. We went through a good few solid days back and forth why you don't want to have a dumpster at your back door that belonged to the adjacent building, because the development was done, the site was, you know, it's an empty site, and they have a dumpster for a restaurant right next to the new building that he's going to occupy. So, you know, you, before you sign, when you have the opportunity to make the changes, request the, you know, the additional doors, relocation of, you know, entries and so on and so on. Get all of that, you know, done up front before you commit yourself to the lease. So talk to the people that fight on your behalf that has the knowledge to give you the direction you need. And that way you have, you know, you have a better building to start out with. So you have a much more efficient layout that can be created. Unfortunately, we didn't get the job to do the design work because they were looking for somebody that could give a cheaper cheaper run at the design. But again, we invest the time to educate the client so that they have they take a better step forward. And whatever, you know, whether they come, you know, whether they continue and secure our service or not, that's secondary. But again, you as the individual looking for a new location, new building, whatever, reach out to the people that can help you, that can give you the direction and tell you what you need to hear, not what you like to hear. Okay? And be informed so that way, you make a decision that can give you the long, you know, the return in the long run. Jim?
Right. Well, and we only unfortunately have the opportunity to kind of touch the surface of all the things that need to be addressed and thought about and talked about when you talk about a designing of a dental office. And the thinking of the direction you need to go and the thoughts about master planning and all that stuff. We're only hitting the top surface, the top 10% of what needs to be looked at and integrated in. So, you know, they say when someone takes our system or our plan or our ideas and utilizes it as their own, what do they call that? You know, duplicating something is like the best form of flattery. Well, you know, that's okay.
Something
but you're
like
kind
that.
Of, yeah, you're kind of settling for second best. And you could listen to all 53 of our podcasts from the beginning to the end and take meticulous notes, and you're still not going to have all the information necessary to do it right. Unfortunately, there's just not enough time. There's not enough time to be able to pull that all together and have that. And it's all unique to the specifics of your particular project and where you're at and in the process, what your orientation is in regards to what you want to accomplish with your needs. Each building is unique to you, and that has to be worked out and fleshed out as to exactly how you're going to use it. And then that will dictate a lot of the questions and the directions and the thoughts that are being asked. So, you know, more power to the people that take the information that we give them. We hope the best, but again, it's not everything you need to be able to accomplish the full potential of what you're going to hopefully want out there. So, Han, you were going to say?
So I think is that, you know, instead of you trying to create your own wheel, find those who can make the load easier, relieve you from the duty and the responsibility and the liability of being the one in charge. You don't have to. I mean, for us, it's not a matter of being in charge. For us, it's a matter of leading. You know, leading the process, you know, answering the questions, you know, just making sure that things get put in where it need to be put in, and everybody do their job appropriately. So it's an arduous process. Gemini's is kind of partly crazy because we love this stuff, but you know, it drives us. It gives us energy. You know, so if you have questions, call us, reach out to us on our website or, you know, or to our talk show program and get your questions answered. No, you don't have to hire us, but we like you to. But you get your question answered. That way you can take your project in the right direction, in a positive direction. And, you know, because we hear so many people making promises that they have no idea what to do. And you get to be the beneficiary of their learning curve. So, Jim?
Yeah, and that's actually the wrong thing to do. So like Han is saying, go to our website, schedule a free consult. You can call us. You're going to be held to any obligation. You can spend, you know, 30 minutes, an hour asking whatever particular questions you have, and we're going to give you our advice. Send in those questions. You can do that on the website. You can do that via the email system. Please feel free. We're here to help. And, you know, again, thank you for spending the time with us for this show. With Han, I didn't even get to tell you about this, but with the holidays coming next week, I don't think I'm not going to be available for the show for next Tuesday. So we're going to have to push our next show for basically 2 weeks from today. And,
okay.
You know, wanted at least let everybody know that that's going to happen. We look forward to what you ask us because we'll do everything we can to answer those questions and, you know, want to thank you for spending the time with us. Han, I'll let you finish it off.
All right. So here's a plug for us. If you're curious, our website is www.hjtdesign.com. So come and visit and look at our pretty face, write the questions and all that good stuff. Right? I look forward to seeing you. Reading your question and so on. I enjoy the time that we have together. Appreciate you spending the hours with us. Until next time, have a good evening.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Han. To contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.